Welcome to Creator Talks, the podcast where I interview writers and artists of comic books and more. I'm your host, Christopher Calloway. Returning to the show on this installment is Sam Johnson of Sheffield, UK, creator and writer of Geek Girl. Sam has launched a new Kickstarter for the second arc of the series, Geek Girl Crime War. The same creative team from the previous arc is all back together. Carlos Granda on art, Chunlin Zhao on colors, and Paul McLaren on letters. Sam explains where we are with Geek Girl in the second arc and what kind of incentives he has for backers of this Kickstarter. Besides discussing Geek Girl and the Kickstarter, which ends on October 31st, we talk comics. Sam is a big fan of Young Animals Doom Patrol by Gerard Way, and he explains what the status is of that series, because I know there have been some delays. I don't follow it closely, so Sam sets the record straight for me. We also talk about other comics we're excited about reading, including Al Ewing's Immortal Hulk and the upcoming series of one-shots, The Defenders. We also talk about some of our favorite Netflix series. Daredevil's coming back this month, and we talk about the other Netflix series coming out this month, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because after all, Halloween is just a few weeks away. I begin wishing Sam a belated happy birthday. I get my days and timing all mixed up, so it's a bit of a timey-wimey thing for us, but again, Sam sets everything straight for me. So let's get started my conversation with Sam Johnson on Geek Girl, Crime War, here now on Creator Talks. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
You're now officially a frequent guest club member, making your third appearance on the show, although it's been over a year since we've talked.
Oh, has it really? Yeah.
And another year older. Happy birthday, belated. Your birthday was October 10th.
October 5th.
Oh, happy belated birthday then. Did you do anything special for your birthday? How did you mark the occasion?
As I'm speaking to you from the past now, so in the past, yesterday we went to see a comedian called Dave Gorman, who I don't think has got any presence in America, but it was great. And then in the past, as we are on October the 6th, we're all going out for dinner and to get very, very drunk tonight. So hopefully that'll be fun.
That's great. Yeah, speaking of that, last night for my birthday, now my birthday was last month, but my daughter bought me tickets to a concert in town close to me at the Queen Theater, which is a really neat old theater, to see the David Bowie tribute band. I've seen the man, the real thing, but this was a tribute band. And it was a lot of fun, I'll tell you, because, well, one, I've never been to a concert like this where there's a bar in the back of the floor.
Okay.
You can just, I mean, the band was phenomenal. They were really good. The guy who was the Bowie, I wouldn't say he was an impersonator. I mean, he did kind of mimic Bowie's moves, but he was having a lot of fun with it. He wasn't trying to be Bowie. I mean, who could? He looked more like Rod Stewart or Benjamin Orr from the Cars.
All right.
But it was a lot of fun. It was great to get that experience. And my daughter said, well, I wanted to buy you an experience, not a gift, not a thing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, I want to spend my money on this experience because I want to remember this. I want to have this in my arsenal of experiences to look back on. You ever do that?
I don't think I have. A friend of mine did some, there was this restaurant thing where it was like you were blindfolded the entire time, and it was like, you know, a super, you know, like Gordon Ramsay's a la carte super duper experimental food. And do you have Heston Blumenthal in America?
I don't think so.
He's very experimental, like snail porridge, and so it was all this kind of stuff, and they had like set off like scents, and it was, you'd give them information about your background, and there was like things to evoke memories and that. So I've seen and heard about that, but not myself. But that sounded like quite a thing.
So it's been a year. What else have you been up to besides writing and planning the next arc of Geek Girl Crime War?
Well, that has been my focus. I mean, I'm also thinking sort of beyond that. I'm sure I've mentioned my character Carbaccini, Voodoo Junkie Hit Woman, bringing her into the Geek Girl universe. So the intention, as has been for some time, is to get the audience big enough that we can make the series ongoing. And that would be where Cabra comes in, the ex-crackhawk turned supernatural gun for hire, who's somewhat unhinged. Well, unhinged is probably too strong, but certainly a character. And I'm very interested to start playing with that, because though I've plotted a lot of it out, I haven't scripted any of Geek Girl and Cabra together yet, so I don't know what the dynamic is until I actually put that into practice. And it's obviously it's quite a different, darker element to bring to the series, but it's going to go interesting places.
Very good. Something else to look forward to, especially some kind of crossover in the future. Pretty cool. So let's get caught up on Geek Girl, the second arc, Crime War. So with this arc, Summer James has taken on the mantle of Geek Girl because Ruby Kay, she battled Lightning Storm in the last arc, and they both wiped each other out. So now Ruby is in the hospital in a coma. And we have the Legion of Larcenists and some other villains. So why don't you tell us what you can? We talked about this before the show. We don't want to reveal too much. So why don't you give us an update on what is going to happen in that arc?
As you say, Ruby, the original Geek Girl who landed these power-inducing super tech glasses in the first place, has landed in a coma. Now, one of the effects when she got these, when she was trying to demonstrate them to her two kill for school clique, she wasn't used to the super strength, so kind of made a fool of herself, knocked drinks over the dressers. They're very shallow. It didn't take much to alienate them. So that's what happened. But now she's back having, you know, despite having ended up in a comatose state as a result, has saved the city. So they like to be part of what's popular. So we find them at her bedside wanting to ingratiate themselves back in with her after having completely distanced her. And now with Summer kind of pushed Ruby into being a superhero, so kind of feels guilty about the situation she's in. So Summer, having got the glasses in Ruby's absence, the power-inducing tech glasses, has made herself a mock Geek Girl costume, is filling in for Ruby, doing the best she can. But this is perceived by the mean girl clique as just, you know, cashing in, riding on her coattails. So now it's Summer they've turned their back on, and as I say, are trying to get back in, sat by her bedside, hoping she's going to come around so they can welcome her back as their best friend that she is.
The ultimate goal of this campaign, besides funding all four issues, this is a four-issue arc, is to get a larger audience for Geek Girl so it can be an ongoing series. And you have a very modest goal for a Kickstarter. It's like $2,400, and you're about halfway there, if not better than that. And that'll fund the whole four issues. And deadline for that is Halloween, October 31st, sometime that day. I really like on your Kickstarter page how you have profile pictures of all the main characters and a hashtag to go with it. So that's a great little social media promo you have there. And I was thinking, you know, that make a pretty cool perk for the campaign if you wanted to overcomplicate it with making, say, trading cards or Pogs if you want to go back to the 90s. I don't understand the appeal of those things at all, but you know, polybag them with the books.
No, that's a cool idea because, yeah, I mean, there's, I think, six of these things that you're referring to, possibly seven, where it's a picture of one of the characters and then there's their name and then a hashtag that kind of describes their characteristics, such as Stacy, who was the one that's primarily focused on being sat by Ruby's side, trying to get back in with her, who's this hashtag best frenemy. That's a good idea, Christopher. We could, I'll certainly give that some thought, because though we've got a number of the characters there, there's room to expand that and make it into a series. And yeah, if we get to stretch goals, that's the kind of thing I want to be thinking about. So yeah, thanks for that. It's good.
And you've got the same creative team again, Granda, Zhao, and McLaren, working on the book. And three issues are complete. They're done. So all that remains is issue 4, in which the artwork begins 10-10, which is why I said your birthday was 10-10, because I wrote the wrong day in my notes, and I leapt into the future.
so what's going on that? I'm losing the thread of whether we're in the past, present, or future now, but Carlos, in the past, is at New York Comic Con. He's been working on his portfolio for that. And when he returns, which is the 10th, we crack on with issue 4. Now, what's cool about the way we're doing this is when we did the first Kickstarter, it was just for the trade paperback. So there was no room to like affect the actual comic. Now with this one, because issue 4 is going to be getting done as the Kickstarter's on, we've got a reward. The League of Larcenists, who, as you mentioned, build, they start as the League of Larcenists. They're looking to make a name for themselves and build and build and grow a reputation and become the Legion of Larcenists. And they've got a foot in the door or found an entry point because of the damage that Lightning Storm did, taking down superheroes, taking out police stations, hence the crime war that crime is now rife in where they live in May. Anyway, so they are looking to build throughout the miniseries. And issue 4, one of the rewards we've got is you can be one of the League of Larcenists, or the then Legion of Larcenists. So we've got like a rough of the cover, which is deliberately left rough at this stage. And there's two rewards where you can have Get Your Ass Kicked by Geek Girl is the name of the reward, where you or a friend or loved one can appear on the cover. You'd send us like three pictures, photos for Carlos to work from, appear on the cover and appear inside in the climactic battle as one of the Legion of Larcenists.
I was reading it, and I've mentioned this before about how much work you put into writing this and how much thought. And one of the things I cannot praise enough, and I appreciate, is how you weave a pithy recap through character dialogue. So if it's your first time reading it, and like you've said on the Kickstarter page, this is a great jumping on point. If you didn't read the first series, you get all caught up, and it's not this heavy exposition or very draggy kind of extra dialogue that's boring. Oh no, it's woven in, so it reads very naturally. Conversations between people. I don't see enough of that in comics. It used to be the way things were done, but it's great to see it done that way.
There is like a sort of more traditional recap page thing in issue 3, but in issue 1, as you say, it's done like that because a friend of mine recently looked at the issue and was like, I'm sorry to tell you this. She said this was like a jump on issue and there's no recap. But this was before she'd properly read it, Victoria, get reading it. So, yeah, it's in there and it's not like, you know, here comes Captain Exposition. You'll get it. On the Kickstarter, the first volume is there. If you want to see, you know, the original Geek Girl Ruby Kay in action and see how she came to be Geek Girl and all that, it does work. This is Summer's kind of arc. You can jump on with the Crime War art with issue 1 of the new Geek Girl series. And yeah, I think it, as you say, hopefully it kind of naturally all unfolds in the dialogue and yeah, not in a this is what happened way.
And another thing I like too, and I won't reveal too much about it, is that the League of Larcenists, how they come up with each member's name.
There's no spoilers in this one. I mean, the League of Larcenists are a quirky bunch of characters led by Pighead, who's a quite aggressive gentleman whose brain is fused with a pig's, and he's got half a pig's head as a result. And, you know, he's the showrunner of the League of Larcenists. He's all in, and his, the initial crew are four. You know, they're dedicated to this. They've got, like, super tech blasters, and they've got a teleportation device so they can get in and out of bank jobs, no problem. They're looking to grow a number, but there's a guy, Terry, who proves to be a kind of bugbear for Pighead because he's a little bit non-committal. He doesn't live in Maine, so he's got a wife and a very young kid, practically a baby. And it means a relocation for them, and he's concerned about whether this is the best move. And Pighead is just like, just fucking do it. So yeah, comes across as possibly a little wishy-washy to the others. So when they're doling out code names, they've got like masks, they've got balaclavas, they're looking at the masks, they're trying to give them fitting masks. So like there's a girl that one of the other guys has got the hots for, so he sees a fox mask. Ah, you're the fox. Oh, you're the fox. And then all that's left when they get to poor old Terry, when they're trying to pick out his name, is there's a Terminator, there's a Hulk Hogan mask. Now, these don't fit you, Terry. Tell us something about yourself. What can we do? What's a good fit for you? And he said, oh, well, you know, I'm just a normal guy. And then one of the other guys pipes up. Oh, yeah, you told us the other week that your wife made you out of a vasectomy, didn't she? Right, you're numbnuts. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And another element that's going to come into it in issue two, we have this this robot, Chromex, who gets recruited, and he kind of falls into it. So whereas the others are kind of, you know, all in with the exception of Terry, and you've got, he's like interloper is the hashtag for this Chromex. So he's kind of a step removed. And when he sees the way, the derogatory manner that Pighead treats, particularly Terry, he's not too keen on this, and he didn't officially sign up. So there's a bit of an alliance forming between those two. There's different agendas at play here, and it's going to be an interesting dynamic to play out.
Let's talk about the rewards. We talked about one of them on issue four, how you can be a member of the League of Larcenists. But what else do you have? There are some limited variants, some packages. There's a level for every backer.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we didn't do, because in the first Geek Girl Kickstarter, it just sort of almost happened because I did it primarily because this was when the trade was coming out. Rather than pull a number out of the air in terms of how many copies I'd order, I primarily did this to get pre-orders for that. So I kind of, yeah, didn't do like a huge amount of preparation for it, whereas this time I have. You know, I've looked closely and taken things on board. And the main thing this time that we didn't have in the first one is we've got digital. Those are going down well. And in terms of the physical ones, some great stuff. We've got Nart, who was the colorist on the first issue of Geek Girl, but only worked on that issue because of other commitments. And then we've had Charlie Zhao on board from the rest. It's an absolutely seamless transition. But he's done a limited print of Summer Geek Girl and Shuri, which you get with, so Shuri off of Black Panther, which you get with, if you buy like the limited collectors, in fact, any of the sort of bigger packs you get with, but if you buy the limited variants, that's cool. Eric Hartman, I always have to be careful I say how I say his name so it doesn't sound like Eric Cartman, has done a beautiful limited tribute for issue four of Ruby, painted. Really, really nice. There's some nice stuff on there, and all kinds of limited, and you know, the top tiers you can get. The Geek Girl Zero is practically out of print, but Geek Girl Zero was the original 2009 black and white one. It's a lot more low key, but it, if you want the sort of the put, it gets recapped in Geek Girl One, but if you want to see that sort of the origin in its sort of fully fleshed out state, Geek Girl Zero does that. Very few of those left, but the top tier rewards I've got, there's like a variant, there's like a sketch cover, and then there's a third printing of Geek Girl Zero available in various rewards. So you know, it's very, the top two ones are very collectible, and there's, you know, there's all levels there. You can just get issue one in digital or print, or you can go right up to that. And yeah, I'm pleased that we've got what we wanted. There may be more stuff added as we proceed, but I really, you know, it came together. I'm really happy with what we've got there.
And you also recently added a level of flashback rewards, digital flashback, digital geek, so you can get caught up on the whole series.
Yeah, there's a reward where you can just get all the last series, all this, because yeah, I mean, issue three is the latest issue. Issue four is there to pre-order, so you can get all four issues of both miniseries, whether that's digital or in print. So it is, you know, this Kickstarter, which the easy link to is geekgirlcomics.com, it is the best jump on point there's been. And as I say, it's accessible whether you want to come in from the first series or from the beginning of the new one.
And the campaign, as I said earlier, ends on October 31st, so act now, don't put it off. And since 1-3 is done, and you're going to start 4 very soon, this is going to ship, if you're getting physical copies, in December.
It's important to me as well that we, you know, I think one of the problems that sometimes indie comics encounter, well, not just indie comics, is you know, sort of missing release dates, and we've got it out every time we've set a release date. So it will, you know, I've discussed with Carlos, the artist, and Chunlin, the letterer, what their schedule is, and we've worked out what we can get done and how long it's going to take. So it will be December. You will be getting out.
You've certainly kept the momentum. You know, you're always on message, and always keeping word about Geek Girl fresh out there in social media and through your newsletters, your emails that people can opt into and sign up and find out what's going on and stay abreast of what's occurring with the series. So you're always consistent with that, which is, I think, really helped keep things rolling along. And hopefully, you know, you'll reach your goal so that this can become an ongoing series. And who knows, someday even a publisher may pick it up.
It's picked up. I mean, the Kickstarter isn't so much about funding it. It's been published by Marcopsia.
Okay.
I mean, that's set. I mean, that one of the great things about the deal with them is, you know, they got it, they dug it. So they were, even before the first series came out, they were on board for a second, and they're going to keep going with it as long as I'm doing it. That's all good. As I say, the main thing is that I'm kind of hoping to achieve with this Kickstarter is to take us to the next level where it can become ongoing.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that they were continuing to do it. Do you think that they'll have it available in comic shops someday, or they'll be trying to distribute it further out? I only see it through the Kickstarter right now.
It's been available at other places. It is available at other places, but they don't go through Diamond. Mm-hmm. So if you don't go through Diamond, that's a problem if you want to get into comic shops. That may change at some point. At time of press, Kickstarter is the best place to go.
And it's worked very well for you so far. You've got this down to a science now. You're a pro with this.
Well, that's,
no pressure.
I don't know if I'd go quite that far. But, I mean, anyone that that has thought about or do Kickstarters, I highly recommend checking out Tyler James's comics launch, which is comics is spelled C-O-M-I-X, so comicslaunch.com. There's all kinds of very helpful podcasts on there, primarily about kickstarting. So as I say, whereas with the first one, there wasn't a great sort of run up to it, with this one, I've done a lot of research and preparation, and I've got a broader understanding of Kickstarter than I did. And I think something that really helps me is I enjoy doing the promos. I like coming up with new stuff, and because I love the project, it works in a way that if I was trying to promote something that I wasn't invested in to the same level, right, let's have a break from that now. Whereas I'm doing it full time at the moment, and it's, you know, the last thing I do at night is see where we're at, and the first thing I do when I get up, I really enjoy it.
Yep, you've got it. The passion and the preparation, because it makes it all come out very well. So again, folks, 10/31, make sure that you back it before it ends so we can make this an ongoing series. Let's talk a bit about comics. I was thinking about you when I saw this news that Young Animals is pretty much going away at DC, or at least they're going to, I guess, maybe redo it in some other fashion. But your favorite book, Doom Patrol, Gerard Way, that's ending.
Is that something you've heard recently?
I think they're wrapping that up, because I know there were some delays with it, and I think they're going to be ending the series, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that, unless this isn't like news from New York Comic Con.
No.
So I think it's issue 12 comes out the end of October. You know, it kind of, the wheels fell off at some point, and that one had been previously solicited, and now Nick Derrington, that was the artist, has moved on to Batman. So he's going to be the new Batman artist. So they've got a new artist that's done issue 12. And I think, I don't know quite whether there's any kind of schedule worked out, but I think it's not ending, although the Young Animal imprint does seem to be, apart from Doom Patrol, wrapped. I think the intention is they'll put this 12 issue out, and then at some point the series will resume.
Just not as a Young Animal imprint.
This is Gerard Way's imprint, for those that aren't familiar with it. I think the intention, it was described when it launched as a pop-up imprint. So I think it was always intended to be kind of a temporary thing. So they did two mini-series of various projects, but Doom Patrol is kind of outside of that. So I can see it, the Young Animal still being on there and it continuing. But yeah, I certainly believe it's continuing. I certainly hope it does, because I'm really, really enjoying it. It's great.
Is there anything else that you're looking forward to? Anything else that you're currently reading?
Unfortunately, because of having to devote as much time as I have to the Kickstarter, I'm behind on pretty much everything. But I've been really enjoying Marvel 2-in-1. Just great. I was never that into Fantastic Four, and this is, I don't want to say humanized Ben and Johnny Storm, who are the leads in it, but it's really just been a great arc and very unpredictable. And the fact that it's still going now that Fantastic Four is back is going to keep it fresh, because it now seems to be sort of alternating between duos from the FF. That I'm enjoying. I'm really looking forward to Superior Spider-Man coming back, because that was one of my favourite arcs ever. That Christos Gage is writing it, who was involved in, like, there was I forget the name of it, but you had the main superhero, Superior Spider-Man, and you had like a sort of Superior Spider-Man team-up book. He was the writer on that and was involved in the main book. Because again, with Geek Girl, I like to keep it unpredictable. And like, with, aside from the fact that you knew the FF was going to come back, 2-in-1 has been very unpredictable. And with Mr. Octavius, or Dr. Octavius as Spidey, you just don't know where that's going to go. And that really kept you on your toes the first time. And from what I've heard about what's coming in the first issue, like, it's going to be taking similar events. So that, I'm going to be all over that.
Yeah, I was going through the catalog for, I think it's for December shipping, and looking at what's coming out, because I don't get a chance to read as many current books as I used to, because I just have such a backlog here of things to read through. It's crazy.
I feel yeah.
But one I had to make room for is they're releasing a series of one-shots for the Defenders. And I'm talking the original Defenders from the 70s. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm all over that. When I first picked up the Defenders back in the day, it was issue 29 where they encounter the Guardians of the Galaxy. And that was the original Guardians of the Galaxy. Steve Gerber, Sal Buscema did that. So I'm looking forward to this. Al Ewing's actually doing the Immortal Hulk portion of it. And Chip Zdarsky's on the Namor issue. Gary Dugan's doing Doctor Strange, Jason Latour, Silver Surfer. Then it all kind of comes together in a one-shot with the whole team together by the Immortal Hulk team of Al Ewing and Joe Bennett. So I signed up for that one.
Yeah, I mean, the Immortal Hulk is one I've got on my list of trades to get. And that sounding good. That seems like it's going to be a good run. So yeah, I'm down for that as well.
It's a great run. That's one of the few that I have on my list to read every month. I really enjoy that series. I wasn't sure what to make of it, but man, if you want a fresh take on the character, but yet that brings out that horror element more so, yeah, of the Hulk. That's what you want. And speaking of horror, it's October as we record this, my favorite month of the year, because Halloween's coming up. And there's a lot of cool things coming up this month. Speaking of TV and Defenders, I think of the TV Defenders, the Netflix series, they have Daredevil coming back this month, season 3. That's my favorite of those series. We're going to see Fisk come back. A lot of elements of Born Again are going to be in this one. And Daredevil's in that black ninja suit, which I like the red outfit. But for some reason, and I want to see the red outfit, I don't think it works as well on television, at least the version that they have. So I'm looking forward to the black outfit, because to me, it's more functional for someone who's fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with sort of feel of the whole Netflix Marvel shows, it being very street level, the Daredevil costume does sort of like stick out of it. And my favorite bit, I didn't rate the Defenders series, but my favorite bit in it, because I love Jessica Jones, was when he initially was going around with, you know, some sort of scarf over, scarf. And then he switched to his red tights. And she's like, you look like an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I love that classic costume, but it's just, some things don't work for me on screen. Yeah. And that just seems, like you said, street level, it's more practical. Jessica Jones is my other favorite of the Netflix Marvel series for sure. Speaking of like Halloween, they have one coming out through the Archie imprint, Sabrina.
Right, yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, oh, wait, that's the woman who played Sally Draper in Mad Men. Kiernan Shipka. She's going to be playing Sabrina.
Okay.
And it's based on the comic The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina through Archie, which it comes out very sporadically. It's a slow shipper, but when it comes out, it's really, really good. I always get that. And it's Roberto Aguirre Sacasa. I hope I said that right. And Robert Hack do the book. It's really creepy, really scary. I mean, it's a great throwback kind of creepy, eerie comic, but fantastic art. It's like I said, it's sporadic, but it's on my list, and I'm looking forward to seeing that series. And I think it's like October 26th it comes out, so I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, these kind of things they've been doing a good job with so far, so yeah.
A lot of stuff that I watch now is streaming. I do a lot of streaming on Netflix, Amazon, and I've been catching up on a lot of movies lately in the evening on Turner Classic Movies, like a lot of noir films, and now is the month when they run a lot of horror films. I saw one the other night. This is so bizarre. I was telling my wife about this. It was a Lon Chaney film. They were focusing on Lon Chaney that day. And we all know him from The Phantom of the Opera, that iconic clip where the mask is removed and there's that hideous face of his. Well, this one was called The Unknown. And he played a circus performer with no arms, and he would throw knives and such with his feet. And The Unknown was about him really having arms, but hiding them because he was in love with the ringmaster's daughter, who was played by a young Joan Crawford. I don't want to reveal too much about this, even though it's a 1927 movie. If you ever have a chance to catch it, it is twisted, man. I mean, it is messed up. I was like, oh my God. I told my wife the whole story, and she's like, oh wow, I didn't see it going there. I said, yeah, that's why I was just sitting there watching this thing with my mouth open going, this is really dark, really dark.
Is the unknown that it's unknown why he hides his arms?
Well, no one knows in the circus that he has arms at all. He's in love with the ringmaster's daughter, and she doesn't like men with hands or arms. Like, they're too palsy. Okay. You know, she's very like, oh, you'll get away from me. Oh no, I can't. I just can't stand those big meaty hands. So he's like, she likes him because he's nice and he's sweet and he adores her from afar. And you know, he's not a threat to her in any way. Only his little sidekick buddy at the circus knows. I'll go ahead and spoil because this will blow your mind. So he wants to get together with her. There's another guy who's pining after her in the circus, and he doesn't want him to interfere, so he's egging him on. Yeah, go ahead, go to her. Take her in your arms, which is going to have the opposite effect, right?
Right.
At some point in the film, he gets into an argument with the ringmaster, and he takes off his little harness to restrain his arms, and he kills him. But his daughter sees him killing him. Not his face, just his hands, and he has a double thumb. So he can now never reveal to her that he has arms, because she'll see the double thumb,
right?
And you know, then she'll just know he killed her father. Well, his solution is to find a doctor that he's blackmailed and have his arms removed.
Yeah. as you do.
As you do. I'm thinking, why not a hand? Why not just the thumb? Why couldn't it just...
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God. So yeah, it goes from there. But I was like, oh, that's not a good plan.
No, that's some funky shit.
And of course, when he returns, she's fallen in love with the other guy. She got over the whole... So now he's like, he's crying. And she's like, oh, look how happy he is. Tears of joy. And he's like losing his mind because he's got divorced.
I think there's a lesson for us all there.
Yes.
Don't murder the woman you love's dad and then have your arms cut off.
It makes for a very awkward Thanksgiving dinner. It's just not a good idea. Do you do anything for Halloween? Do you celebrate some way?
I'm actually looking to do, because I haven't looked at Kickstarter live stream yet, but and I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm looking to do, because Kickstarter ends on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are you familiar with Ricky Gervais's Extras?
Oh, yes.
So if you recall the sitcom within the sitcom, When the Whistle Blows, and you've got Ray Stubbs with the comedy wig and glasses and his catchphrase, I'm thinking of doing a live stream as a zombie Ray, so I'll need to do a bit of playing around with that. That's a possibility for the climax of the Kickstarter, a zombie Ray doing Christ knows what at this stage, and I'm not promising it, but I'm going to see whether that's doable. add an extra element.
I will keep my eyes open for that.
Yeah, it'd be unusual. It'd be unusual if that happens.
I saw his last stand-up on, it was like HBO or something. I streamed it, whatever. And he does a bit about social media and Twitter. And people attacking him on Twitter. It is hilarious. I had tears in my eyes. I forget the name of the comedy show.
But I know what he's talking about. It's on Netflix. Netflix.
That's where I got it. Did you see that?
I've seen a bit of it. I'm generally more into his sitcoms than his stand-up, but the social media thing has piqued my interest. I'll be checking that out.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you. It's hilarious, and you're like, yeah, it is so true. It is so true, and
yeah, I can see it. I'm gonna get on that.
The funniest thing is like someone will say something, and he's like, and I should have left it alone, but I didn't. And then he'll do these like snarky replies that are just absolutely brilliant. So it's I think you'll like that. Check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Comic wise, were there any books that you read in 2018 that you think were great horror comics, like the best horror comic of 2018, or have you read any horror comics in 2018?
I'm not normally drawn to horror. I mean, Carbaccini has a very strong horror element to it, but I think you may have a conversational cul-de-sac with that one, Christopher. I'm racking my brains and can't really think of too much in the horror about. I mean, there's kind of horror elements in Doom Patrol, but again, it's like when this Kickstarter's done, I've got a massive backlog to catch up. I've read very little, and I haven't got, like, we're talking about the Invincible, what's he called now, the Immortal.
Oh, the Immortal Hulk, yes.
So the art, the big Avengers art that sets that up, that had Al Ewing and a bunch of others. And it crossed over all the Avengers books and wrapped them up before they came back with the current Avengers run. That is something I've been gradually working through, because it's like 16 issues or something. And I've got a couple left of that, and then that'll kind of open me up to these things like the Immortal Hulk. If there's a horror element in the Immortal Hulk, I'm down for that.
Yeah, I think you'll really dig that. Yeah, I know what you mean. There's like so much I want to read. It's just not possible financially, and it's not possible time-wise. It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I have trades, I have digital comics. My floppies I get through pretty quick because they're little chunks, but I like to sit down and read my trades in one shot if I can find the time. And I don't have to worry about like throwing them in my backpack and having them all banged up or anything like I would floppies. So, But you all for floppies, you have digital. So however somebody wants to jump on board or continue to check out Geek Girl in this next series, that they can do it digitally or print, both. And if you're into limited editions, I'll tell you, you've got some gorgeous ones on there. Eric Hartman, I'll make sure I say it correct too.
Yeah.
Limited to 150 copies, that limited virgin edition painted cover. I was like, wow, that is really nice. I mean, you just have great little incentives here for backers. So October 31st, that's the deadline, but don't wait. There is a level for every person's means to enjoy this series, and if you haven't read it before, hopefully this has enticed you, and it's easy to get on board and get caught up.
Yeah, and easy link to it, rather than having to search through Kickstarter, geekgirlcomics.com is now set up to go directly to the page.
Yeah, it's easy to find, folks, and I, of course, will put a link to the Kickstarter in the show notes to make it easy for you to find, too. Sam, thank you so much for being on Creator Talks.
Thank you for having me on again.
And coming up in the weeks ahead, returning to the show, Mina Elwell and AC Medina, and for the first time, Trevor Richardson, editor of Starburn Industries, to talk about their series, Halicious. Let me tell you a bit about that. According to previews, Cherry, the devil's prankster granddaughter and the cutest Grim Reaper in hell, is honestly just trying to have fun and make new friends. She loves everything about hell, its burning landscapes, its horrific inhabitants, and especially her demonic mother and grandfather. But she's lonely. There's nobody to play with. And anyone who tries ends up being digested or otherwise destroyed. There's one mortal who Cherry thinks might be a good playmate. Rock star and goth icon Briggy Bundy. The bad news is, he isn't dead. Yet. And according to Amazon, the trade comes out October 23rd. Well, I have a lot of content out there, a lot of podcasts for you to listen to. So if you haven't had a chance to get caught up, last week I had my Baltimore Comic Con panel that I moderated, new formats and themes. And at some point I will put out a video of that panel, but you can hear the audio on my last podcast, number 137. Just a reminder, the podcast is free. You can subscribe through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, just about any app you like to use to listen to your podcasts. And it's also available for streaming through Amazon Echo and Dot devices. Just say, Alexa, play podcast Creator Talks. If you want to know what's coming up, you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Creator Talks Pod. That's at Creator Talks Pod. I'm also on Instagram under @CreatorTalksPod, where I post my Saturday Silver Age and Sunday Bronze Age comics in the spotlight from my collection. For the month of October on Saturday, I'm focusing on Atlas comics from the Marvel Silver Age, specifically Tales of Suspense and some of those wild and crazy monsters that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby came up with. If you like the interviews you hear on the podcast, please rate and review on iTunes, even just leaving a star rating. It's a big help. It helps the show to stand out amongst all the podcasts out there in the iTunes search engine. And of course, spread the word. For Creator Talks, this has been your host, Christopher Calloway. Until next time.